Welcome to another exciting episode of the Dummies of Wrestling. I'm your host, Tim, and it is WrestleMania season. We all know it. We're all excited. We are here to talk about WrestleMania. We've got the scorecard predictions. Mine anyway. We've got everything about that, everything about WrestleMania. I am so pumped up. This is going to be, I'm hoping this is going to be a great WrestleMania. For the first time in a long time, I'm actually going into this WrestleMania excited. I am. And it's not perfect. And we'll get into it when we break the card down match by match. But it's not perfect. But the exciting matches, I'm there for. And I'm pumped. And I'm interested in the story. And that's the biggest thing, man. The biggest thing about pro wrestling is the story. And these stories here for some of these matches that are coming up this weekend in WrestleMania, I'm on the edge of my seat. Let's get into it. It is Dummies of Wrestling time. How are we all? It's been a while since we've recorded. My apologies, but it's hard for me to get in front of the microphone at times. My kids are growing older. I've said this multiple times. You know the deal. But it is WrestleMania season, and I needed to get behind the microphone and speak my mind about pro wrestling because shit is happening. Man, if you are not on board with pro wrestling as a whole right now, then you've completely stepped off and you ain't coming back. Because as The Rock has been saying for the past weeks, wrestling is cool again. It is. It is. And look, it's nothing like the Attitude Era. It's nothing like it, right? We're never going to get the Attitude Era back. But at the same time, is that a bad thing? No. Because if you remember the Attitude, if you go back and watch the Attitude Era, it wasn't as perfect as everyone remembered it. You know, I went back and I watched some of the old WCW stuff from 1997 and 96 and all that stuff. And yeah, there was some cool shit with the NWO. But at the same time, there was a lot of filler. There was a lot of shit that wasn't as great as we remembered. And the same goes with WWF at the time. Here we are in 2024. And things have picked up so much since Vince McMahon, the person we're not allowed to speak about, is done and dusted with the company for good. I'm confidently saying that now. For good, he's done, he's gone. And you can tell, myself anyway, I can tell. And please tell me if you can't tell because I'm so curious. But you can tell that this company's changed, WWE. It has changed significantly with so many different things. From the small, minute things to from camera angles to the big things where we have stories being built up. We have even the bigger things. Swearing on WWE TV. Swearing in blood. When was the last time we saw that? The WWE product right now is as edgier as it's ever been. And for that, I fucking love it. And I cannot wait for WrestleMania. But beyond WrestleMania, beyond what's happening this weekend with WrestleMania, there is also stuff going around. And if you haven't seen it yet, oh man, you got to check it out. Because the other company that we talk about here, AEW, and I haven't spoken about AEW for a while, and there is a reason. But AEW is under fire just a little bit. So have you guys heard about the CM Punk, Jack Perry confrontation from back in All Out? The one in London. You know the one in London. The confrontation where it revolved around glass. Now, if you haven't been paying attention, CM Punk was on a podcast, Ariel Helwani's podcast, where he basically let it all out and explained what happened and what went down. And I'm not going to tell you beat for beat with what happened, But I will say that it's a great listen. It's an interesting listen. And it really... I've always said this. And people on this show will hold me to this. That I'm not the biggest CM Punk fan out there. I'm not. I think he can be a bully at times. I've said it multiple times. He's a cancer. But this interview with Ariel Helwani, speaking about Jack Perry, and he comes off truthful in this scenario. He does. And he comes off sincere to the point where he doesn't want to speak about this, but he's kind of been forced to bring it up and just be a... It's like he's holding back emotions, anger emotions and things like that. So... I'm confused because I've gone for many years saying that CM Punk is overrated. He's just a cancer of the company. Fuck him off. Get rid of him. But now, I mean, since being back with WWE, he has been doing some great stuff. Even though he's been injured for a while, he's been doing some great stuff. So if you haven't seen the interview about what happened at All In, it's a really good interview. It opens up some of the doors that are usually closed to us fans. So go and check it out. But AEW, man, and I'm going to come out and say it. There's a reason I haven't spoken about AEW as much as I used to. I'm kind of off the product. Now, I don't want any of you guys to think that I want AEW to die or collapse or anything like that. I don't, because that's a horrible thing to say. Multiple people would lose their jobs. And having two huge wrestling companies is great for everyone because it gives an alternative. It makes both companies fight and push for better things. It's just good all around. But I don't know, man. I feel AEW for me has changed in the year 2024 compared to when I first started watching it back in, 2021 or something like that. I think it was 2021 when Punk first returned. They've changed and they're more of a wrestling based company. But when I say that, it's more of an athleticism wrestling company. There's things that AEW do that really get under my skin, that really annoy me. For example, there'll be matches where they're very fast paced, which is great. That's always entertaining. But when people don't sell moves, when you have a match that consists of two people chopping each other over and over and over again, to me, that's utterly boring. When you have a match where it's just super kick after super kick after super kick and no one really sells, that's boring to me and unrealistic. Or when you have a match that happened recently where you have two people, and I won't name two people, but you can, I'm pretty sure if you watch AEW, you know who it is, where they do the, I'm fucking blanking on the name, the Canadian driver move back to back to back where one person does it to the other person, and the other person gets up and does it straight back. There's no selling. And it comes off ridiculous. I understand that wrestling is basically an interpretive dance, but it just comes off silly. And there's this big thing about wrestling where you let things breathe, and it works. And that's for every form of entertainment. Movies, music, everything like that. Let it breathe. But AEW just doesn't seem to do that. And it's just rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm just off the product. Also in saying this, there is absolutely nothing at this current moment, the 3rd of April, 2024, I'm saying this. There is nothing that I'm interested in with the company. No story, not even any of the superstars, none of the performers are interesting to me. There is nothing entertaining for me to go and watch it. So I will still follow them. I will still read about it, but I haven't watched a Dynamite or a Collision or a Rampage for weeks now. I read about what happened every week, but there's nothing interesting to me. Every time I read it, I'm like, okay, I saved myself 2 hours. That's great. But for me, AEW is just struggling at the moment. And then you've heard about the recent releases that have happened. So is AEW struggling as a company? I honestly hope not. I honestly hope not, because I hope the best for them. I hope that they can do some great stuff. But at the moment, it's nothing that I'm interested in. And I know that there's people listening to this right now that love AEW. And that's awesome. That is great. And there's people listening to this right now that don't like WWE. And they think WWE is boring. And that's fine. That's fine. You don't have to love everything. At the same time, you don't have to hate everything. You know? I hope for the best for AEW. But until they can show me a better product or get me interested in it, I'm just not interested in watching them anymore. Sorry, not sorry. Let me know how you guys feel. Are you guys totally against what I'm saying? Or are you kind of on the same feeling? Because I'm hearing a lot of people have the same feelings as I am. But anyway, go and watch that interview, CM Punk with Ariel Helwani. It's really interesting. Opens up a new door to what we didn't get to see. And yeah, that's it for AEW. That's all I wanted to bring them up, because they're in the news at the moment and they're making headwaves. But we need to talk about WrestleMania, because it is time. It's the grand final for us wrestling fans. This is the time of year where it's the show of shows. You know what I'm talking about. Everyone knows what WrestleMania is. If you're listening to the show right now, you're probably pumped. And I'm honestly curious if there's anyone out there that isn't excited for this year's WrestleMania. Because last year's WrestleMania, the main event was Cody versus Roman. I honestly didn't care. I watched it, of course, and because it's Mania, I was still excited. But this year, with it being Cody and Roman again, I'm so much more pumped this year than I am last year. And that's, quite honestly, solely because of The Rock. The Rock returning as a heel and doing some of the best work he's done in many, many years is the most entertaining part of wrestling. And then you've got other people. Seth Rollins, who I'm not a fan of. I loved him back in the day when he was the Beast Slayer and all that stuff. But now they say it on Raw every week. He's a clown. He's literally a clown. I like what he's doing with Drew McIntyre and the whole CM Punk thing. Speaking about Drew McIntyre, he is also on top of that with The Rock as the best part of WWE right now. What Drew McIntyre is doing is incredible. Incredible work. Everything he's doing, I'm loving it 100%. So what we're going to do here is I'm here to give you the scorecard. I'm here to talk about my predictions for WrestleMania. And we'll see what happens. I'll be watching live on day one. On day two, because it airs here on a Monday, I will be working. I will have to watch the replay after I finish work. It's shit, but nothing I can do. But yeah. So let's break it down, man. WrestleMania 40. 40 years ago, this phenomenon started. Hulk Hogan and Mr. T tagged to close out WrestleMania 1. And now we are here 40 years later with, in my opinion, one hell of a card. I think this is a great card. I'm excited for the majority of these matches. There are some filler matches here, but I'm here for it. So let's start. I'm going to start from the bottom and work my way to the top. So if you're looking at the card, I'm doing the reversal. So I'll do the bonus questions last though. But we'll start with this match that was added the most recently, we've got the Pride, which is Team Bobby Lashley, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, versus the Final Testament, which is Team Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross and the AOP. Is it AOP? Fuck, I'm I'm blanking on their name. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, this is a six-man Philadelphia street fight. And this isn't one of the matches that I'm salivating for at Mania. But then when they announced that it's going to be a street fight style match, that got me more interested. Because I feel we've seen this match, or we've seen variations of this match. We've seen these two teams go at it for a while now. And I feel that they put this on the card. One, because of Bobby Lashley. If you remember correctly, Bobby Lashley was meant to fight Bray Wyatt last year. That didn't come to fruition because, well, now we know why. Rest in peace, Bray Wyatt. Speaking of Bray Wyatt, I am going to watch the Bray Wyatt documentary after recording this. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't tell you my thoughts, but I'll speak about it on the next episode where we review WrestleMania. I know for a fact that I'm probably going to bawl my eyes out while watching that documentary. Still so fucking shocking to me that he's gone and we'll never see him again. That hurts. That honestly hurts so much that he's gone for good. But, yeah. So Bobby Lashley was meant to fight Bray Wyatt last year, and that didn't come because of reasons. And Bobby Lashley was left off WrestleMania. So here we are. Bobby Lashley is on WrestleMania, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy that this is happening. At the same time, I kind of feel like this is a step down for Bobby Lashley. A few years ago, he was holding that world title, and now he's in a six-man tag match for nothing, really. Either way, I think it will be fun. It's a street fight, so it's always going to be fun with those types of matches. I've got Team Bobby winning this, the Pride. I think they're going to give him the win here because of last year's disaster with WrestleMania. But I've got Team Bobby winning. How many people interfere? I've said two. Now, both teams have women on them, Scarlett and B-Fab. I think they'll both get in the mix. So I've picked two. Paul Ellering is also in the Final Testament, so he could get in the mix too. But for the moment, I just put two people. First weapon used, I've got the kendo stick. I always pick it as the first weapon because it's the first weapon that comes to mind. I don't know. I'll go kendo stick. And who pins who? I've got Bobby Lashley going over on Karrion Kross. I think that's the right way to do it. Where do both teams go from here, though? That's the interesting part because I honestly cannot give you anything. I don't know. But that's it for the first match. So the next match, let's get into it. Next match is another one that's just come out of nowhere. In fact, the first three matches I'm going to talk about are kind of just filler matches, but this next one we've got is Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom Mysterio versus the LWO, Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee. Right, okay. So this is just a normal tag match. I kind of feel we could have had this on the SmackDown before WrestleMania or even the pre-show or something. I get it. You're trying to showcase some superstars here. Rey Mysterio obviously being a legend. But I don't know. Unless this match is like 5 minutes, then it's probably going to be too long. But whatever. I've got Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom winning here. No reason why. But I'm going against the bookies on this who have got the LWO winning. I can also see this match turning into an absolute clusterfuck with everyone coming out and from both teams and interfering. So that begs the question, how many people interfere? I put down five because I can see a lot of people coming out. Heel or face turn? Does anyone turn heel or face? Yeah, I got Carlito. Now, if you watch SmackDown and when Rey Mysterio announced Dragon Lee as his partner, they kind of pandered to Kalito's face a bit where he looked a bit upset. So I've got Kalito turning on Rey Mysterio. I could be very wrong about that, but I'm picking that. And who pins who? I've got Dom Mysterio over Rey Mysterio. I mean, it could be a great match. Dragon Lee is a good talent. Rey Mysterio is obviously a legend. Both Santos and Dirty Dom are respectable in their own right. Who knows? I could be completely wrong. I hope I eat crow for this. I really do. But yeah. Next match. This is the other match that just came from out of nowhere. And there's a reason. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Damage Control. Damage Control in a six-woman tag match. Another tag match. So, this is... I honestly feel like we're all going to have the same picks here. To anyone that's putting their predictions down, I feel like we're going to have the same picks here. This is going to be the most predictable match of the night. What's going to happen is Naomi and Bianca Belair are going to do 90% of the work. Then they're going to get to the point where they give a hot tag to Jade Cargill. She's going to come in, do her big boot, do a power move like a power bomb or something like that, and pick up the win for her team. This match is purely to showcase Jade Cargill as a talent. And it's going to be interesting because this is where Jade Cargill is really going to be under the microscope. Because back in AEW, she could get away with being green. But now she's in the big leagues. Now she's got more eyes on her. She'll have a lot more work to do to showcase that she is a talent. And WWE are pushing her as a major woman superstar. She will be up there. As long as she does great, she'll be up there with the Charlotte Flairs, the Becky Lynches, and even the Rhea Ripleys. Mark my words. But she has to really prove that she can kick it along with the rest of the other female. So I've got Jade, Team Jade winning this. I've got Jade over Dakota. And then does Bianca whip anyone with her hair? I said yes, because it's been a long time since we've seen her do that to anyone. So I picked yes on this. All right, let's get to the US Championship. The United States Championship being defended in a triple threat match. Logan Paul, who was our champion, going up against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Another match I'm excited for a few reasons. Logan Paul, love him or hate him, he is an excellent talent. He knows how to move in the ring. He works perfectly as a heel. I don't think he should ever be taken away and taken back to babyface because his work as being a heel is phenomenal. The other reason is Randy Orton. Legend, future Hall of Famer, without a shadow of a doubt. Randy Orton will be inducted into the Hall of Fame in the next 10 years. I guarantee that. Kevin Owens is my last point because this guy is unreal. Every time he's on, he makes the product so enjoyable. Just by little things he says, little actions he does. He puts a smile on people's faces. So I think this match is going to be great. It's going to be hard-hitting. It's definitely going to be one of the better matches of the card, in my opinion. But I do have Logan Paul retaining here. The reason being is because I think, quite honestly, Randy Orton winning the US Championship is kind of beneath him now. Kevin Owens, we've seen this story with Kevin Owens and Logan Paul multiple times. I think the real story for the US title is Logan Paul successfully defends it at WrestleMania. Then he goes on to fight LA Knight. Because LA Knight needs a push. He needs a title. And I don't think he's getting into the world title picture. And if he does, he's not getting the title. So I think the next logical step is for him to become the next US champion. I think that works perfect. Logan Paul can't hold the belt forever, obviously. I mean, he can. It's WWE. But I think the next person is LA Knight for him to drop it to. So I do have Logan Paul successfully winning, defending the championship. How many people interfere? I've got three. I've got Pretty Deadly and probably KSI or even Jake Paul coming to the defense of Logan Paul. Who pins who? How pins who is what I wrote. I'm a fucking idiot. I got Logan. I wrote down Logan pins Orton. But now I'm double thinking about it. Yeah. I'm going to go out there because I don't think anyone else is going to have that. I feel most people will have Logan pinning Kevin Owens. I'm having Logan pin Orton to win this. I'm risking something here, but let's go with it. Who uses the brass knuckles? Because you know they're involved. Logan Paul. And are Randy and Kevin Owens friends after the match? I said yes. I don't know why. They have a segment on this upcoming SmackDown where it's obviously going to be where they start to turn a little bit on each other because they have to. But I think they remain friends afterwards. But either way, I've got Logan Paul walking out WrestleMania still champion. All right. Brother versus brother. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. A match that both people have said is a dream match for him. And rightfully so. Wrestling each other, your brother, at WrestleMania. It's happened before many times. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart. Matt Hardy versus Jeff Hardy. And now this. Jey Uso versus Jimmy Uso. In a singles match, I'm so torn by this match because one stance, I think it will be a good match. On the other hand, I'm not as pumped as I would like to be about this match. Either way, I feel it's going to be a decent match. It's not going to be a match of the night for me anyway, but I feel it's going to be a fun, interesting match. And depending on where the storyline goes with the whole bloodline and all that stuff, that will be the interesting part. So I do have Jey Uso winning this. I think it would be stupid to have Jimmy Uso winning this. I think there's more story if Jimmy Uso loses, with Roman coming down on Jimmy Uso and starting the whole end of the bloodline. That's what I think. Who knows what will happen. But how many people interfere? One. I've got Solo doing something. I don't know why, but I've got Solo coming out. Do we see Rikishi? This is hard because I thought maybe they'd make him special guest referee. I thought that'd be cool. But now, since they haven't, maybe he's not available or maybe he can't or something. But I still got yes. I still say we do see Rikishi come down. You know what would be fucking funny but horrible at the same time? That if after the match is done, the brothers are still fighting and you hear the Rikishi music, the too cool music breakdown. And Rikishi comes to the ring, puts the glasses on both the brothers, and they dance together. That would be fucking hilarious, but at the same time, not fitting in with the story at all. But who knows? Do Jimmy and Jey hug afterwards? I said no. I feel this story continues after Mania. All right, next match. Now, we spoke about LA Knight just previously, and he is facing AJ Styles in a singles match. Now, this story is kind of, it's not like as good as the Bloodline or something like that, but at least it's something. At least we've got a story as to why these two are fighting. And it's great to see AJ having another singles match on Mania. You know both these guys can bring it, and I think that they're here to show everyone that they can do what they're paid to do. I think it's going to be a great match. I am digging LA Knight at the moment. I kind of wish he had a bigger Mania moment than just a singles match, but he's on the card. So at least we got that. But I do have LA Knight winning this. I've got him going over AJ Styles and then going over to face Logan Paul for the US title. How many people interfere? I've got none. I don't think anyone interferes. AJ has gone a different direction than the OC, and LA Knight doesn't really have anything. He hasn't got anyone with him, so I don't think it makes sense for anyone to interfere. Is there blood? No. And pin, submission, or other, I've got pin on this. So either way, I think this will be a good match, but we'll see. We will see. This next match, I had so much trouble thinking of what to write down. This is the six-pack tag team ladder match for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team titles. We've got the Judgment Day, who are champions, Damian and Finn Balor, versus DIY, The Awesome Truth, The New Day, The A-Town Down Under, and The New Catch Republic. Now, there's been a lot of rumors lately about A-Town Down Under that they might not even be involved in this match. Now, I don't know if you guys know about a internet celebrity called Joey Swole. I follow Joey Swole, and basically what Joey Swole is, he's this big, huge dude. He's a big guy. And basically, he makes videos online calling out toxic gym culture. Now, when people film themselves in the gym doing stupid things or getting angry or laughing behind someone's back, Joey Swole watches these videos. It's like a reaction video where he watches these videos and calls those people out. And I really like Joey Swole because he's got this good mentality about being kind to people in the gym, especially people who are uncomfortable. And I go to the gym. I try to go a lot. But I think it's a good thing that he's doing. Now, A-Town Down Under, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller have made a video where they're at the gym and they get mad at someone for walking in front of their camera, to which Joey Swole reacted to their video and called them out. And then both Austin and Grayson have then made a reply video against Joey Swole. And there's this whole back and forth now between them about both of them saying, "I'll see you at WrestleMania." Now, this could just be fun, loving stuff. Who knows? Or this could be leading to something where Joey Swole does come out to WrestleMania to screw them over or do something. I, for one, and I know this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but I, for one, would love to see Joey Swole out there, I don't know, doing something. Even if they're canceled from this match, have Grayson Waller do the Grayson Waller effect and call him out. I think it would be entertaining as hell, because if you've seen Joey Swole, he's a very large dude, huge buff guy, but he's athletic as hell. He has videos on his page of him doing backflips and stuff like that, which is impressive because he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. But I would love to see it. I think it would be funny as hell. It'd be entertaining, and I'm a fan of Joey Swole's, so let's see it. But nothing is said in concrete yet, so we don't know. I had so much trouble trying to pick on who's going to win this match, who's going to walk out the champions. And there's something that Michael Cole said on this week's Raw, where he said, and I'm screwing what he said up, but he basically said that to win this match, in order to win this match, all four championships need to be pulled down. So it got me thinking, if someone went up there and pulled off two titles, then the match still continues, which then got me thinking, are we going to have different winners in this match? And I don't like that. If they're going to split up the championships, I don't like that, because I honestly believe that it would be better. I think the perfect thing to do would be, before this match starts, have someone saying the winner will receive the brand new Universal Tag Team Championships, and have And have that be the reveal, where they reveal the brand new tag team champions. Championships, anyway. I don't think we need two sets of championships anymore. I don't think the tag team roster is as thick as they think it is. It still needs some work. But to have just one set of champions going back and forth between SmackDown and Raw, I think that that's the right way to go. But, I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be interesting. But I narrowed it down and I've got the Awesome Truth winning this because it makes the most sense. I don't see Judgment Day walking out with the titles. I don't. I think that we're going to slowly get into Damian cashing in his money in the bank. And that's something that I forgot to put on the scorecard. Oh, well. I've got the Awesome Truth winning this because of how over R-Truth is at the moment. I think it makes the most sense. But, yeah. So how many ladders are set up? And this is a hard question because when I say set up, I mean they actually have to be set up. They can fall down afterwards, but they have to be set up. And it has to be different ladders too. It's not how many times a ladder is set up. It has to be different ladders. I've got 8. I'm probably picking way too high of a number. But I've got 8 different ladders that are set up during this match. Is there blood? No. I put no. Blood has to be used for a special moment. And we'll get to that soon. Does anyone jump from the ladder? Yes. I think we're all going to write yes on that. And first weapon, besides the ladder, I wrote down kendo stick again. Once again, it's the first weapon I could think of. I'm excited for this match. Usually these multi-man ladder matches at Mania are usually really entertaining. So I'm pumped for it. Let's see it. All right. Let's get into this next match. A match that I am not as fussed over, which is the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. I absolutely love Gunther at the moment. I'm loving the run he's on. I'm loving what he's doing with the Intercontinental Championship. I don't want to see him lose it. Not yet, and especially not to Sami Zayn. Now, that's not anything against Sami Zayn. It's not. I think he's a decent talent, but I think his time is over. He was over as hell last year at WrestleMania. This year, they dropped the ball with him. They really did. They really did. It's too late now. It's too late for Sami Zayn, and I don't think that they're going to give him the title. I think Gunther retains here. The reason being is because of Chad Gable. Now, this storyline that they're doing, and I appreciate that they're putting a story into this of Chad Gable being kind of like a coach to Sami Zayn. I do appreciate that they're doing that. At the same time, I honestly, and I was listening to another podcast, JD from New York, who thinks that this idea makes zero sense. But I think it makes complete sense. I think that Chad Gable is going to interfere in this match and cost Sami Zayn the championship. Why? Because Chad Gable wants to be the one to dethrone Gunther of this title, not Sami Zayn. It makes complete sense. In my opinion, it does. So I've got Gunther winning this match. How many people interfere? I've got 1. Because if you think back to the Gunther matches of the past, he never really has his lackeys interfere in his matches, which I honestly think is a good idea. But I've got here 1, and that's Chad Gable. Pin, submission, or other, I've got pin. So that's it for the Intercontinental Championship. I think this will be a good match. I really do. It will be a hard-hitting match. I mean, all Gunther matches are hard-hitting. But I don't know. It's just when it was announced that it was Gunther versus Sami Zayn, I was just like, oh, it's kind of lackluster, in my opinion. All right. Rhea Ripley. Here we get into the women. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch, a singles match for the Women's World Championship. Now, this is a story that I feel like they could have expanded on and done something different. I feel it's kind of not as deep as they could have gone. Like, Becky's angry at Rhea because she mentioned her daughter. That's it. Like, we've already got a whole story around family in the main event. You don't need to make another one. In saying that, I honestly would be annoyed if Becky Lynch walks out as the winner of this match, as the new champion. Anyway, I don't think that Becky Lynch... I know she doesn't need this. She does not need this win. This win needs to go to Rhea Ripley. It does. This would solidify Rhea Ripley as being the most... one of the best women wrestlers out there. As much as you don't like her, Charlotte Flair, it would put her on that level. It would put her on Becky Lynch's level because she's up there. She's up there with a Becky Lynch and a Charlotte Flair, but she's not 100% up there compared to those two female wrestlers. So I think this win over Becky will solidify her into that upper echelon of female wrestlers. So I've got Rhea Ripley winning this, which is funny because I've got both Rhea and Gunther continuing their long title reigns. And for some reason, I'm a huge fan of title changes. But at the same time, there's no one that I want to take the title of Rhea. There's no one that I can see right now taking the title of Gunther. It doesn't make sense. So leave them. Leave them with their titles and we'll continue their trek. But Rhea winning with a pin, how many people interfere? I've got zero. I've got none. Now, you could make an argument that Nia or Liv Morgan could interfere, but at the same time, I don't want that. I don't want anyone to interfere in this match. It doesn't make sense. Let this just be a match between both women. Let's do it. I think it'll be a great match. There's been multiple events where Becky Lynch has gotten a 5-star match report from me. I think she's a phenomenal superstar, and maybe this could be another one where it's a 5-star. I'm hoping so. But Rhea better walk out still champion. Speaking about more women, Iyo Sky versus Bayley, a singles match for the WWE Women's Championship. And this is a story here that I think has done pretty well. The only criticism I could give it is that they kind of did this turn on Bayley really quickly. I think it would have been cool if they, once again, let it breathe for a bit, because she won the Rumble and then it was like the next week almost, or the following week after that, where she challenged Iyo Sky. And I think it would have been cool if they let it breathe a bit and kind of going back to the Batista Triple H match where Batista was still in Evolution. If you remember that story, that was done well. That took a few weeks to come about. But this one, I don't know. I felt like it was a bit too rushed. Either way, I am loving the story. And I think this will be a banger match. I've got Bayley winning here. I think that's the right decision. We need Bayley to hold a title because it's been a while since Bayley held a championship. I can't even remember when the last time it was. But Bayley needs to be champion here. She wins with a pin, and I've got two other people interfering. I only got two. I don't know. For some reason, just the number two comes to mind. I think it's going to be Kairi Sane and Asuka coming out. Don't know where Dakota Kai will be, but who knows? I could be wrong. This is another match that could just go absolutely crazy. You could have the six women from the six women tag match from the previous night come out. So who knows? There could be a lot of people involved in this match, but for the moment, I've got two. All right. We are getting down to the thick of things. Now, I'm going to mix it up here. You've seen the scorecard. Fill it out how it's listed, but I'm going to go a bit all over the place here. So we're going to start with the main event of night one, which is the Bloodline, the Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. So this has a stipulation, and if you don't know the stipulation, here it is. If Cody and Seth win, all members of the Bloodline will be barred from ringside during the Undisputed Universal Championship match on night two. But if the Bloodline win, the championship match will be held under Bloodline rules. So the fact that they said that and they teased us what is this Bloodline rules match? Does that just means anything goes? I wish they would do something a little different where everything's in favor of the Bloodline, you know? Put Cody in a fucking blindfold or something, not to that extent, but you know what I'm saying. But the fact that they said this and they teased it, I don't see how they wouldn't go through with that. So I've got the Bloodline winning here. I really do. Now, this has been the best part of this WrestleMania journey. The Rock, the Bloodline, Cody and Seth. Even though I hate the babyfaces, I am still loving this story. And it's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's been great, this story. I've really been digging this story. But I don't see... I honestly think that what's going to happen is that Cody going in to fight Roman for the championship, the odds are going to be stacked against him. Utterly stacked against him. So I've got the Bloodline winning here. Who pins who? And this was tough. This was really tough. But, and I've got an answer written down here, but I'm going to change it. I did have The Rock pinning Seth. I'm going to change it to The Rock pins Cody. And the reason being is because Cody can suffer a loss here. He can suffer a loss. And I think it makes more sense for the story. With Cody walking in to night two to fight Roman for the title, knowing that he just lost the night before against the Bloodline. It's the mind games, and it all works. It all helps this story build. But I've got The Rock over Cody. Does anyone turn? And this is the big story, because a lot of people are saying, oh, Seth's going to turn on Cody, or The Rock's going to turn on Roman. I don't have anyone turning on each other. I don't think that happens. I don't. Maybe eventually down the line, but at WrestleMania, I don't see it. It doesn't make sense. I don't want to see The Rock turn on Roman. I really don't. I'm loving heel Rock. I'm loving what they're doing with this story. And if played right and written right, this could continue on to next year's WrestleMania, where we eventually get The Rock versus Roman for the head of the table. Doesn't have to have a title involved, just has that, could add that moniker as the head of the table. That's what it's for. Awesome. Sign me up. I'm done. But no, I don't have anyone turning on anyone. Is there blood? No, not in this match. Special appearances? No. I think this will be a 2-on-2 tag team match. Maybe we'll see Solo out there. Maybe we'll see Jimmy Uso. Maybe we'll see Jay. But there won't be a special appearance. We'll get to that. How many people's elbows are hit? I put two. Once again, that number two is just creeping up in my mind. And does Rock take a pedigree? Yes. Yes. They teased it on the Raw that just finished. I think he takes a pedigree. So before we get to the main event, let's talk about the Night 2 World Heavyweight Championship. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. And this is the other story that I'm absolutely loving because of what Drew has been doing with his back chatting on CM Punk stuff. It's been unreal. And we all know eventually down the line we're going to see Drew versus CM Punk. But Drew has put stock into this already. Drew is already drawing money out of that. And how do you have that match come to be? Is it just a singles match? I mean, it could be. But wouldn't it be more special if Drew was holding the gold here? And it's for the title. I honestly, I will rage quit if Seth Rollins walks out still champion. I will fucking punch my TV and throw it down my stairs. I will be infuriated. I will fucking kill someone if Drew McIntyre does not walk out with that championship. I've got Drew winning here. It makes the most sense. You could have someone from the Bloodline come and help him. But I need, out of any match here, this is the match where I want to see go my way. I want Drew to hold that title. He deserves it. He's been doing some of the best work. Seth Rollins has held it for way too long. It doesn't make sense for him to hold it any longer. We need to see someone new. Seth, take a vacation. Come back dressed normal. Stop being a fucking clown. Stop doing your stupid laugh. It's gross. It's annoying. It's stupid. You look like a fucking clown. Drew McIntyre needs to win this match. Do we get blood? No. How many people interfere? I wrote one. CM Punk. CM Punk has said he's going to be on commentary, so I think he's going to intervene somewhere. Maybe accidentally cost Seth the title, which would be great. But I've got one. Does the Bloodline help Drew? I said no, because then it kind of takes away from Drew winning it. I know he's a heel and it would make sense, but I want Drew to win this as clean as he can. Maybe something to do with CM Punk, that's fine, but anyone else is too much. How many claymores are hit? I wrote three, and maybe three is too big of a number, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with three. And does Seth wear something stupid? If you wrote no, I'm going to mark you down for 10 points. Yes, of course, Seth wears something stupid, something over the top that makes him look ridiculous. But yeah. All right, we get to the last match. The main event, Roman versus Cody for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. In what I believe is going to be the Bloodline rules match. Now, I'm gonna let you know what I think is going to happen. And then I'm going to give you my predictions, sorry. And then I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen. It's wishful thinking, but if done right, it could be amazing. Who wins? I put down Cody. I put down Cody to become the new champion. Is there blood? Yes. This is the match that has the blood. How many people interfere? I've got six. Six people interfering. I'll get to that in a second. Do they follow the stipulations? So this question is more for if they if the babyfaces win the previous night and the Bloodline is locked away. Do they follow it? I wrote yes because I think it's Bloodline rules, so they're going to go with it. How many spears are hit? I put three. How many crossroads are hit? Four. And does this match go under or over 30 minutes? I put over 30 minutes. Now, here's my wishful thinking. At the same time, here's what I can see happening. So Cody walks in to fight this match. The odds absolutely stacked against him. He's walking in. He's been beaten the night before. The Bloodline rules is in effect. Everything is against Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins. Everything's against Cody Rhodes, right? Every time he gets up and does something, one of the Bloodline guys is there to take him down a peg, right? And each time something like that happens, Cody looks like he's not going to win the big one. And then it gets to a point where they're absolutely decimating Cody. It gets to a point where you're like, fuck. People start leaving the arena even because they can see Cody just losing. Cody needs help. He needs help from someone. So obviously you could have a number of people here. You could have Jey Uso come out. You could have Seth Rollins come out. You could have different people come out to help. Some people have even said Dustin Rhodes to come out and help. Which, I mean, it makes sense. Obviously, it's his half-brother. But at the same time, what kind of threat is Dustin Rhodes compared to The Rock? You need someone bigger. You need someone with attitude. You need someone with an attitude adjustment. John Cena. John Cena comes out. He's had history with the Bloodline. He lost to Solo Sikoa last year at WrestleMania. It makes sense, right? Then Cena gets attacked. We need someone bigger. We need a rattlesnake. The Texas Rattlesnake. The glass shatters. And as the Rock is belting down Cody with his belt, you know, his strap, the glass shatters and out comes Stone Cold. The Rock and Stone Cold have a face-to-face. Few hits here and there. It's absolute anarchy. Now, this is 100% wishful thinking. But something like this needs to happen. Because this cannot just be a normal back-and-forth match where Cody and Roman hit their finishers four times and kick out four times. It needs to be absolutely anarchy. If you're going to have Roman Reigns being defeated for this historic reign, then it needs to be absolute chaos where it took everyone to take the title off him. I think that that's the best way to do this. It's wishful thinking, but I've got six different people. You could have The Rock, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa on one side. You could have Jey Uso. You could have Cena. You could have Stone Cold on the other side. If you remember correctly, when Cody Rhodes was being beaten down by The Rock outside where Cody Rhodes bled, there was a truck there in the background. It had John Cena and Stone Cold on the poster. I'm just saying, man, this is wishful thinking, but you never know. So yes, I've got Cody winning, unfortunately, as much as I fucking hate it. I've come to terms that Cody is probably going to be the next champion. I had Roman Reigns winning last year and I got that right. I would absolutely love it. Absolutely love it if Roman walked away with the championship. I would be laughing hysterically because I would love to see the anger from everyone. But they did it last year. I don't think they're going to do it again this year. Because I don't want to see Cody Rhodes win the Rumble for the third time. Jesus Christ. All right. We're going to leave you with the bonus questions. So, surprise appearance. I fucked up these questions. So I wrote surprise appreciate. Fuck me. I gotta go and fix these. Surprise appearance. 5 points if you're correct, but minus 2 points for everyone wrong. So you can put down as many people as you want, but if they're wrong, it's minus 2 points. I put down Stone Cold, John Cena, Rikishi, the Dudleys. I put the Dudleys down, and that's classed as one because they're a tag team. There's rumors of them coming in for this tag match, so I just put them down. Who cares? And then last but not least, Joey Swole. I put him down. He's a surprise. He's someone different. So that's mine. Stone Cold, Cena, Rikishi, the Dudleys, and Joey Swole. First match of night one. I think WrestleMania opens up with Becky versus Rhea Ripley. I think it makes sense. First match of night two, we need to open up with a bang. Seth versus Drew McIntyre. If both championships are going to be on the same night, one's got to open and one's got to close. Obviously, Roman and Cody are closing, so this makes sense. How many announce tables break? I put three. Yeah, we'll go with three. Who gets a special entrance? So 2 points if you're correct, but minus 1 point if wrong. And when I say special entrance, it needs to be special where the crowd can see. None of this fucking CGI video graphic stuff. It needs to be something that the crowd can see. So I've got The Rock, Rhea Ripley, and Logan Paul all getting a special appearance. A special entrance. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is my WrestleMania preview and my WrestleMania prediction scorecards. You know the deal, man. Get your scorecard in. Send it to me. I'll lock you in. You got to get it done before the pre-show starts. And I'll be watching that pre-show, so you better get it in before it starts. I can't wait for WrestleMania. I think it's going to be phenomenal. I think it's going to be great. It's obviously the biggest event in all of pro wrestling. So let's watch it together. Let's have some fun. And I will see you on the next episode where I speak about the event in full, both nights. It's going to be great. Dip!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.